Welcome to the FBL Kopi Talks podcast, where we chat about our perfectly unhealthy obsession that is FBL. I am ABK, also known as FBL Folk on Twitter.
I am Lukman, and you can find me at FBL Kopi Talks on Twitter. We are recording this episode shortly after the Liverpool and Arsenal semi-final Carabao. And in this episode, we'll be reviewing Game Week 22, the final three games, and we'll be looking towards Game Week 23. But first, let's start with the game that just passed. How was the game, bro?
Yeah, so I woke up early to watch the full game this morning. Okay. Singapore time, it's 3:45 a.m. So now it's about 6 a.m. So I'm quite fresh off the game, basically.
You fill me in because I didn't wake up. I just watched the highlights.
For this game, I knew that the moment Arsenal considered that we lost the game, first 15 minutes was all Arsenal. Arsenal was playing really well, but once they considered to the Jota's goal, I knew that Arsenal, I don't feel that they have the mentality or the mindset against big teams to make a comeback. That's why I feel still lacking in the Arsenal team. Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing that is when I saw the lineup, right, like the Arsenal formation. So what formation did they play?
So was I think 4-3-3? So apparently it was said that it was 4-3-3 lah. But I felt that it was the same formation that they've always been playing, which is 4-2-3-1 or kind of a 4-4-2 formation. Right. So the center mids were Sambi Lokonga and Odegaard. So Odegaard played a more advanced role. He played where Partey usually play, but he played a slightly more advanced role than Sambi Lokonga. Yeah, so okay. he was still deep, but he was more advanced than Sambi Lokonga. So usually we have two central midfielder that lies deep, but I think Odegaard was slightly in front of Sambi Lokonga. Yeah.
All right. You still got anything else to add on that game, or should we move on?
Not really, lah. So like I think just a little thing that I wanted to talk about because I previously said that I didn't really like Jota on the wings, lah. But I think this game kind of proved me wrong, lah. In terms of my opinion of him as a white player. Yeah, both of the goals, it was well taken by Jota. I mean, his ability, it just shows his ability that he can play anywhere up front, right, left, in the middle.
So how soon are you going to bring him to your FPL team, Jota?
Still fires to fight in my team, still fires to fight. haven't been able to get the opportunity yet to add him into my team.
Okay,
let's talk about teams.
Let's start with you first. You want to start with you?
Yeah, so for this week, I think I did fairly okay for non-Bruno owner this week. I think Bruno is the main man to get. You have him, you captain him, you get almost a 50-point advantage over the rest of the pack. But if for non-Bruno owner, I felt that I did pretty okay. I have a small green arrow. I think it's the smallest green arrow I've ever seen in my life. It was like just a few hundred placings that I managed to go up. So it's good to at least just see the green arrow, not the red arrow. Surprisingly for my team, my single game week players this week all fed better than my double game week players, which is crazy. Yeah. So Lamptey, Alonso, Dalo, King, and Ronaldo, they were all scheduled to get a double game week. They were supposed to have a double game week after the deadline, but all of these guys were scheduled to have a double game week. I think the only person that didn't get a double game week eventually was King, right? But all these players scored like 2 or 3 points only. And I captained Ronaldo, so it was only 4 points for me from Ronaldo. Then my single game week players were Cancelo, Alexander-Arnold, Bowen, Rafinha, and Madison.
All returned.
All returned for me. Yeah. So all my single game week players returned and my double game week players in return. So I can't complain. I don't have Bruno this week. So to get a green arrow from a non-Bruno owner, I think it's still a decent showing this week.
Okay.
But I think for you, it's a different case totally because you have Bruno on your team. What were your thoughts on this week?
So I'll just say out my team quickly. I had a 4-3-3. So I had no goalkeeper because I had Buckman and Ramsdale. So my defenders were Cancelo, Reguilón, Lamptey, Arnold, Bowen, Fernandez, captain, Jota, and then up front, Broja, King, and Antonio. So actually quite underwhelming besides Bruno. Only Bowen and Antonio return, and of course the two. Trent and Cancelo, which everyone has. So actually, I had finished with 89 minus 8 because I took a minus 8, so it's net 81 points. So yeah, so still quite a big green arrow to about 260 to 146k. Yeah, so quite a sizable green arrow. So happy about this.
Yeah.
Time to push on to the top 100k.
But Bruno is it's just the difference.
Big swinger.
It's a swing. Like, if you have him, you'll definitely get a green arrow. And especially if you captain him, then it's a definite green arrow for you.
Without him,
it's almost a certain red arrow for you. Yeah, for me, yeah. I still get a green arrow because I think my overall ranking is not as high yet. But I think if I was at higher places, it would definitely be arrow for me. Yeah.
So yes, let's move on to the hot topic. So talking about double game week, your single game week players overperforming your double game week players, right? So let's talk about like macro wise. So do you think we should prioritize single week players over double game week players? So what are your thoughts on this?
I wouldn't really say I would prioritize single game week players, but I think it's important for us to look at the single game week players who are playing and their fixtures versus double game week fixtures. All right. So for this game week, I think the only team that clearly had two good fixtures was Man U. I think the rest of the teams didn't really have two good fixtures to play. All right. So I see a lot of free hit teams that brought in Tottenham players. They brought in Watford City players.
Yeah, Watford.
Yeah, I think Man City, there weren't many people getting Man City players
Yeah, let's talk about free for all, right? So I think this week, whoever uses free probably loses out because they might not have Cancelo in the team, for example, right? So I think but they could have Bruno, but I think the net gain is probably not worth the free hit, I guess.
If they had Bruno, they had to captain him, you know, if they didn't
captain
him.
They probably won't, right? Yeah, actually, maybe they would. Because I don't think they'll captain Ronaldo. Maybe they'll captain Kane. I don't know, maybe, but yeah.
Kane was also captain Chow. Yeah, so I think for me, the lesson learned, right? It's not that I made a mistake for this game week, but I think the lesson learned looking at people using a free hit this week is that you should use a free hit in a double game week where your strong players from strong teams have a double game week. You know, you shouldn't be using a free hit when weaker teams with bad fixtures are having two games, you know. So if let's say Liverpool gets a double game, you should definitely free hit or use your chips during this time. But I think the case usually is that most people will have three Liverpool players anyway, right? That's a set thing,
free hit is more team dependent lah. And also like game week 30, right, it's a big blank. So if you don't have any players there, like if you don't have like 4 or 5 players only, I think free hit is fine. So really it's team dependent lah. Yeah, so for me, my overall thought is it's difficult to get. Don't get double game week players who are rotation risk. So for example, the Brighton attacking assets, or even Lamptey. Yeah. So they are like, for me, Trossard and Mope, right? They are not worth it lah, because first what's his name? Potter really he's like a mini Pep, but he likes to rotate. His system also changes every game, almost every game. So like, and they are not as explosive to be considered, even though they are like not near, right? So they're not that worth it in my opinion. So someone like them, maybe don't take the risk. So like, stick to single game week players who have good fixtures. And also like, I know somebody who actually benched Cancelo this week. So don't ever bench Liverpool or City assets, like, even in a tough game. That's my
I've learned from my captaincy of Trent Alexander-Arnold against Leicester, away to Leicester,
where he got 24
points. As in, I didn't even play him two seasons ago, I think. As in, it was the history. So from then on, if ever I have a player that is a premium player, basically, from a strong team, Liverpool, Man City, I will never bench them. Whatever it is, I will bench somebody else. I will never bench Cancelo or Trent Alexander-Arnold. So actually, just going back to my team for a while, I think this is one of the reasons why I didn't go for Bruno in the end, or I didn't go for Man U players in the end, because I already had a team. I already had a few double game week players, and the only players that I would have taken out would have been my single game week players from my first 11 if I were to bring in somebody, because I had Son in my bench. So if I were to bring in Bruno for Son, then I would have to take out somebody in my team, and I wouldn't have taken out a double game week player in my team.
Correct. Hey, but you did consider Bruno, right? If I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I did. So basically, I said in my last spot that I made that early transfer for Madison, right? So if I was to bring in Bruno for Son, who was on my bench, I wouldn't know who to take out from my team. I would have taken out a single gaming player. I would have done something stupid, like taking out Cancelo from my team.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So I think it was also a good thing. So on that discussion about double gaming and single gaming,
I think you will still bench Rafinha, I think, right?
No, I was actually thinking of benching Alonso. I was thinking of benching Madison, actually. Because I felt it was such a waste to bring him on for -4 and then not play him, right? So in the end,
will you have captain Bruno or Ronaldo if you had both?
Given the news on that day, I would definitely Bruno. Captain Bruno,
So you have done.
Yeah. But I mean, it's always easy on hindsight, so.
But most people who have Son, right, probably did the Bruno move because Ronaldo was doubtful, right? So I guess that's how I stumbled upon Bruno. But saying that, I did consider Bruno from the start because I wanted a captain option. So anything else to add on the double game week?
No, nothing really to add.
Okay, so in hot topics, the first news is this week is the Duncan Ferguson.
So
the new caretaker manager. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring up this news on Duncan Ferguson. It's quite interesting, actually. So Everton, under Duncan Ferguson as the caretaker manager, has played 4 games so far.
Okay.
Under Big Dunk. And these 4 games were unbeaten. And these 4 games were against Chelsea, Man U, Leicester, and Arsenal.
Wow, so really? Yeah.
Duncan Ferguson has never lost as an Everton caretaker. So it's quite interesting. Yeah, but he's only had 1 win though. So 1 win and 3 draws. He won once against Chelsea, and then he drew against Man U, Leicester, and Arsenal. Yeah, so he has quite a good record as an Everton caretaker manager. So I think we can expect some
really
new manager bounce for at least 1 or 2 games.
Do you buy the argument that because Big Dunk, right, he likes DCL, means DCL will perform? Do you buy that?
I wouldn't say it's just because he likes DCL. I think because Duncan Ferguson, he's a striker, right? You know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
he knows maybe how to play DCL, you know, how to motivate him to get the goals. I think he maybe is a good man manager as well. Yeah, so
I don't really buy it just because he likes DCL doesn't mean DCL will call it. I'm pretty sure Rafa likes DCL too. But maybe man manager wise. Okay, Rafa is a good man manager actually. But I don't know, it depends. But Big Dunk has been in the club from the start, right? He's always been the assistant, all the way back to who? I'm not sure who but yeah. So I don't really buy the argument that Everton was suddenly, because it's a small sample size 4 games. But I mean, I will not look at Everton assets anyway. So do you think you will be looking at, do you have any Everton assets? No.
No, I do. I have England #1.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to mention that. I didn't even cover him, but he's the only he's the only single gaming player that's got less.
You think Big Dunk will drop him? Who's the reserve keeper? Begovic? I think Esma Begovic. Esma Begovic.
Yeah, possibly. No,
but I think
I don't think he'll be dropped.
if you have DCL, I think it's fine to keep because they still have good fixtures. But I don't think I'll buy him or any other assets.
Yeah, at the moment, I'm not looking at any Everton assets.
Okay, so the next topic, right, anything else to it on breakdown?
No.
Okay, so I want to talk about Carragher tweeted about something about Adam Webster after the Brighton game. He tweeted that Webster, his passes are always perfectly,
his passing out with both feet is better than England defender.
Any England defender so when you saw that, let's see what you think about it first.
Yeah, so I don't know. As in, for a central defender, passing out with both feet, I don't think it's a very important trait to have.
Yes,
passing out from the back, it might be an important trait, but having to be, the ability to pass back with both feet, I think the emphasis here is on with both feet. I mean, idea that the player is two-footed, I think it's not a very important trait. To be honest, it's a good trait to have, but it's not a key trait that a central defender should have. But to be honest, when I heard this, I actually haven't watched a lot of Adam Webster's game to actually to see whether he is actually a good defender or not, because I don't actually watch a lot of Brighton games. Yeah. So if Carragher said that he's good passing out with both feet, I'll take his word for that. But I mean, if as in, I haven't seen him as a central defender, so I'm not one to
Talk about Arsenal fans were like up in arms, City fans, they saying that Ben White and John Stones should be up there. So who do you think is the best passer, centre back, who is the best passer of the ball?
Best passer of the ball.
English centre back.
I think Ben White has to be up there among the English centre backs. Compared to John Stones, I would think he'll be on par or even better than John Stones.
So for me, let's talk about Ben White for a while. I think Ben White is a good passer, but I feel like what made him exceptionally good, right, is not his passing, it's his carrying the ball out. Of defense, not really passing. He's a decent passer, but that's not what makes him exceptional. For me, what makes him a high level ball playing defender is the fact that he can carry the ball, not really passing. So I don't think he's an okay passer, good passer, but not exceptional. Yeah. So for me, I watch Webster quite a bit. I think I agree with Carragher because his passes right is usually perfectly into strike, always in front of the receiver. So for me, another underrated passer defender is also Max Kilman at Wolves. I think he's quite decent.
I mean, he has a futsal background.
He got 20 odd caps for England futsal.
Really?
Yeah, correct. So he played, he actually was from there, then he transitioned to like 11 side. So he's there. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the called up soon. So I mean, he's better than the then he's captain in the team, but let's talking about that. Let's just talk about hypothetical, like who do you think should be England's let's say the World Cup is next week.
The World Cup is next week.
Yeah, so current form. Who do you think will be the England centre backs in a 2 and a 3, and who do you think Southgate will pick? Because for me, those answers are different.
Okay. So I feel honestly that England should play with a 3. The reason is because I will tell you who I'll put in a 2 and who I'll put in a 3.
Okay, why do you think
I feel that the team is best suited for 3 at the back is because with Trent Alexander-Arnold on the team, I mean if you say next week then we can't play Ben Chilwell. But basically if you have a good wing backs available for England, right? I think it gives them the ability to push forward with less defensive responsibilities, and I think 3 at the back is a good system to fit the England team. And I think the England team doesn't have very established wingers, like so these wingers are not out and out wingers.
Is that so? Sancho is an out and out winger, but I guess he wouldn't be the team, right?
Yeah. So players like Foden, Sterling. I think they kind of are players who can play on the wide play wide, but I think their play, they always cut in, they are always going into the box, right? So they are not really those wide players that will go down the byline, put in a cross in, you know. So in that sense, I think it'd be much better suited for England, considering the players that they have to play a back three. Do you agree with that?
I don't, because I think I feel that Trent is the best right back. For me, he's not good in a wing back role because firstly, he's never played there. Secondly, he's better when the game is in front of him and he's not that dynamic. You know, right back is like more like a Reece James role. So for me, Trent should play. So the fact that Trent should play, right, they should stick to back four. And also, they don't really have much good centre backs also. Actually, maybe Walker can play right centre back. But then the fact that I think Trent should play, I think Trent is better as a right back because he's not as dynamic and he's better when the game is in front of him. That's my thought. So
okay. Yeah. So who will you be your back two? Okay, so we'll go for back two first.
Okay, so for me, okay, what I would choose, okay? So for me, Ezri Konsa is the best England centre back, wow, in my opinion. For me, the fact that he's not in the squad is really bizarre because I feel that he's on form, right, on merit, right, he's not even like this season, as you mean, past two seasons, in fact, that he should be in the team, but he's nowhere in the team. So for me, Konsa should be playing. And then if it's next week, right, I feel like John Stone should be the one. So yeah, those two. So I'll go for three first. If it's a three centre back, I will be the same two and then plus Kyle Walker.
Okay.
So how about you?
I'll go for a really boring answer and I'll give the centre back pairing. Right, the centre back pairing of
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Sure.
Ben White and Johnston.
No.
No.
In my boring answer is I'm gonna give the centre back pairing that Gareth Southgate used in the Euro.
Oh yeah, I forgot to say what Gareth Southgate will choose. Should I go there first or?
No, so Gareth Southgate, I mean, easily, you know what his answer is. He's the same as mine, actually. So we can go to that.
Oh, yeah.
Maguire and John Stones. Right, so one of the reasons why I say this is because, so as a centre-back, the main thing you have to do, right, because you said that we are playing this World Cup, in this hypothetical World Cup next week, right? The important thing between two centre-halves, right, is the familiarity they have with each other. To be able to play with each other. And then for club football, it's easy for players to, you know, get game time together, to train together, play a lot of games together. You know, for international football, there's only limited periods in the year where they get to train together and they get to play together as a centre-half pairing, you know? Yeah. So it's always good to have centre-halves that are familiar with each other and know the style of each other's play. Because of that, I think that's the reason why Gareth Southgate tries not to... it's a bad thing if you know, like, you're just sticking to players who are not good in the same position. But I think that's one of the considerations that you must have. Second consideration I would have to say is which side of the centre-half you're playing, whether you're playing on the left side or the right side. So, I mean, your argument will have to be, like, a good centre-back will have to be able to play both sides. You have to... Can be able to play on the right and can be able to play on the left as well, right? But then I feel that even at a professional level, you need to have familiarity playing on one side of the one side as a centre half compared to the right side, like, so you must be able to be familiar in that side of the centre back position. I think the reason why is because the tackling is different. So when you are facing players on the left, the way you tackle, your stronger foot when you tackle, the kind of distances you have to give players when they're running at you, it's all different depending on which side you play. Yeah, so it's important for you to be able to be familiar with which side you're playing. And at the moment, right, for English centre backs, there are not many English centre backs who are playing on the left side of the defense. Right, so I think the only two I can think of is Harry Maguire, Mings, and Louis Dunk. Louis Dunk is always playing on the on the left side of the centre back of the centre half pairing. Yeah, so I mean, a good centre half will have to be able to adapt now. So if you see Man City, right, Ruben Dias is one player who's always switching from the left to the right, right. But I think. For centre halves, yeah, you need to have that consideration as well. And because of that, I'll put Maguire on the left and John Stones on the right. Still,
but Maguire really, he's done well for England for sure. But then, like, really, you will still play him next week when his form this season has been horrible.
Yeah, I mean, he's horrible. But then the thing is, in the England squad, right, his aerial ability, right, is you can't question it. He has one of the best aerial abilities.
That's true.
Attacking wise, and also when you're defending, I think his aerial ability is really good. On the ground, I think he's a bit slow. He's a bit he's not great lah. I mean, he's on the ball, he's also not great. Right, but I think with the quality of the crosses that his England teammates can give him into the box, that set pieces will be a channel for England to score with Maguire inside the team. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the reason why
I still put Maguire in.
Okay, team, okay. Yeah. Funny that you mentioned Luis Dunk. Actually, right, based on merit, right, the best two England centre backs for the past two seasons, in my opinion, is Luis Dunk and Ezri Konsa. But both of them are nowhere near the England team for some reason, yeah, in my opinion. Okay.
So I have a kind of a theory for that. So like, I mean, I'm not trying to back Southgate or anything, but these players are playing for the Brighton team and the Villa team. And
yeah, but wait, I know what you're going to say, but okay, you finish your point first.
Yeah, so basically, players at a playing at a higher level, playing in Champions League, playing at that level, will have the kind of elite mentality lah. So that kind of players playing at higher clubs, right? They can't afford to concede. You know, they go into every game knowing that they can't concede. You know, so they go into every game with that mentality, and they have that elite mentality. And players in playing for big clubs will have this kind of mindset like going to games. Right? For
okay.
Players like from Brighton and Aston Villa, like, when they go against Man City, they go against Liverpool, it's like damage control for them, you know, like,
yeah, true. Like, but okay. To counter that point, right?
The least goals as possible. So that kind of mentality at the international stage, at a level where for England, right, you're expected to perform at an elite level, right? I think that kind of mentality is not there when you put Konsa and Dang into the team. Like, it's not tested, like, you know. They haven't gone through the rigor of elite level football yet, like, you know, playing in the Champions League and all that.
Yeah, so okay, to counter that point, right, you know, coming to the Euros, right, the fact that Mings got selected over Konsa, same teammates, and also Ben White, I think last season, Luis Dang overperformed Ben White. But understandably, because Luis Dang is old, right? And then Ben White is young and he can play multiple positions. Okay, maybe that's the reason. But based on merit, right? Luis Dang and Ezri Konsa had better seasons than both Mings and White, who got the call out. That's my opinion. So, yeah, but I agree with you. The big game, the big team mentality is, of course, is valid for sure. But, but yeah, I mean, John Stones, for me, John Stones is a bit underwhelming also. I mean, he's hardly first choice. I think over the years, in City, he's currently, I think, third choice. And even back then, right, two, three seasons ago, when he was fit, right? I mean, what's that? Pep even played the likes of Otamendi and even Fernandinho at centre-back ahead of him at times, you know, like few years. So I don't know. But I mean, the fact that England centre-backs, I think, overall is quite slim pickings. I mean, compared to France and like Italy, right? They have so much better centre-backs.
But I mean, you were just mentioning about John Stones, right? How he was split, I think Otamendi and kind of even Demetrialis, I think at one point was playing.
What's his name? There's a black guy. He's in Porto. No, Mangala. But Mangala wasn't a heel stone, I think. I think Mangala was quite bad.
Yeah, so I think John Stones in his early years, I think there was a lot of errors in him. He's quite error prone. I think he's made a couple of errors there when he was young. But I think as a centre back, I think that's what you're looking at in terms of improvement. You cut down on this kind of, I mean, the reason that Man City bought him was he was a ball playing defender,
yes,
you know, and I think that trait of him making errors leading to goals or making errors lah, it's not great lah. I mean, when as he grow older, he's not that old anyway. I think he's only
he's quite old already, 27 really. 28.
Yeah, 27.
He's not that young. He should be in his prime now, which he's still not.
For a centre back, that's the prime years that you're looking at now, you know. And understandably, a few years back, I think he wasn't ready to play.
He's 27 and still quite young. 27. So, I mean, talking about Southgate, right? I mean, he really prioritizes like loyalty. That those who perform well for him, he will stick to them, like, even though their club form has not been good. So I'll be surprised because Rodney hasn't been playing Maguire. He's been on the bench for the past two to three games. So I'll be surprised if he will still be called out. I hope not, for England's sake, like the World Cup end of the year. I don't think Maguire is the answer. So hopefully Konsa will get a nod soon.
Yeah, actually, Konsa and Stones. I'm just looking at Konsa's age. He's not that old.
Yeah.
He's quite good. And so one of the reasons why you wouldn't call up older centre back at this point when
like Luis Dunk, like Luis Dunk,
like Luis Dunk. I mean, Luis Dunk has played for England before, but then
is he?
He has played for England before. But I think the reason why you wouldn't call them up is because I think as an England team, I think you are looking at succession also, like, you know. I think once this centre half grow old, I think you want people to step in. You know, you don't want to replace an old centre back with just like someone that's like 1 year younger.
Correct.
You know.
Correct. Yeah. So like Ben White will be in the future. I think he could break the first team.
So your three. You mentioned your two, right? Konza and
Stones. And then like Kyle Walker is the most perfect right centre back, like, in my opinion. Right. He's still so good. He's still so good. Same as you, right? Yeah.
Yeah. See, I will still put Kyle Walker there over Ben White. Although Ben White can play on the right side of the tree. But I feel that Ben White is a good shout in the future once Walker retires. And Walker.
How about Adam Webster?
I don't know. I think so. I already told you. I don't know much about him.
I think he's alright.
I haven't watched lots of Brighton games to kind of make my
assessment on that. He doesn't have age on his side, But then again, age, right? Connor Cody is quite old. I don't know how Cody get. I mean, Cody. Yeah, maybe because when they play in a three, I think he's fine, But he can never play in a two, so I think it's a bit weird that he's in the England team.
In the tree, he's good in the middle. I mean that's his.
He's alright, He's alright. He's alright. I wouldn't say he's good. He's alright. He can play a role. Like he's got instructions to him, right? And I think he's fine. But then like defensive wise, like 1-to-1, I don't think he's good. Also, international level, I don't think he's there, But yeah, it is what it is. And also, I would like England to play a back four because you say there's no white players, right? But I feel like the likes of Sancho, Sterling, Rashford. Who else you got? Grealish is also a white player. I mean, there's few options there. I feel we should put more attacking players in the team. And also one Trent. I think Trent should play. I think Trent is the best right back. So he should play.
Over James. Over James,
yeah. I think he's the best right back.
Yeah,
but okay. If they play in a back three, right, Trent shouldn't play. If they play in a back three, I think James is better. But as a right back, right, which I think England should play, they should play a back four. Because they have a lot of attacking players. You look at the talent. If you play a back three, right, you're minimizing a single an option up front. So I feel they should put as much attacking players. Like 4-3-3, they have perfect, like the three in midfield, right? There's so many options. Like Jude Bellingham should be playing, in my opinion. Rice, Tommy Phillips.
Rice definitely has to play.
Yeah, Rice is nail on, but I think Jude should be nail also. So but yeah.
I think you know more about the England team than I do. I think you follow the three lions more than I do. I think typically Arsenal don't really have many English players, so I don't really follow the England team.
Yeah,
but I think
it's
looking good this season, though. It's looking good.
Many speaking of like speaking of Arsenal, right? If you play a back three, right, Saka's position might be like, you know, for example, Saka should, for me, should be in and about the first 11. If you play a back three, I think his position wouldn't. I think he wouldn't play because that he can't fit him in, right? He's more of like a white player. So yeah, I forgot about Saka. Yeah. Saka for me should be up there. So if you play a back three, players like him will miss out. Yeah. Okay, shall we move on to the game?
Hold on. While we're still talking about English centre backs, I have a small trivia for you.
Okay.
Do you know this rule that so FIFA has this rule where you have if you have less than three caps for a country, you're still eligible to change the country that you represent. Do you know?
But I didn't know. I thought if you haven't played a competitive game, you can still change to another country.
You haven't played a competitive game and you have less than three caps. So if you have three caps, more than three caps playing friendlies, right? You won't be able to change your national team.
Okay.
So there's this one English centre back with one cap for England. Okay. And also one goal for England. So he's caught in his one cap for England. Who's now playing in the AFCON. Who is this?
Oh, Stephen Cocker.
Yeah, okay.
Liverpool legend, bro. He even scored for England.
Yeah, he scored in his debut for England. Yeah. But you immediately know that he's playing in the AFCON now.
Yeah, I saw somewhere.
He plays for Sierra Leone.
You know when he was in Liverpool, right? Like Klopp brought him on, right, as a striker. Towards the end of the game. Legends. Where is he now? Where is he playing?
His club. Sierra Leone. I think some Turkish league.
Somebody is going to the Turkish league. Some English player. I don't remember. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's move on to the three games. Let's talk. Okay, let's start with Brighton, Chelsea. I go further.
Yep.
So let's talk about the XG for this game is 0.74 and 0.62. So it's a very even game. But I feel that for me, Chelsea played poorly. Okay, let's talk about I will just talk about Chelsea setup first. So they went for a box midfield, like a 4-2-2-2. So Cho, Hudson-Odoi was up front with Lukaku, which was because Cho, I think both of them had a bad game. Basically, most of the Chelsea team had a bad game. So it didn't make sense that Cho was up front. So for me, they should have gone with someone more pacey like Werner and Pulisic to get the best of Lukaku, to work the channels and create space for him. I mean, Cho will work the channels, but he worked them wide, you know, like he pulled fullbacks out of position, but the Pulisic and Werner will pull the centre back. So it wasn't in sync. It was very weird. And also, the fact that they didn't play three at the back, right? You see Alonso. Yep. I mean, he had a torrid. If you watch Alonso both games, right? First, he was up against City. He was up against, was it Sterling?
Sterling.
Yeah, he was up against, what was his first game? Chelsea's first game? Yeah, Man City. So the two double gaming, right? He was up against Sterling and Lamptey. Both, he had a horrible game. He could have been sent off for both, to be fair. He had a hard time. I mean, for the Brighton game especially, right? They played a back four, so he was nowhere near attacking. Like, usually you'll see him in and around the box, right?
But yeah, correct. Yeah.
That's the first thing that came to mind. So what do you think of the game?
Yeah, so they just agree on the Alonso point. I didn't manage to watch the whole game. I was doing highlights, but whenever you look at Chelsea attacking, whenever you watch highlights of Chelsea attacking, you always see Alonso in and around the box.
Yeah, he's nowhere near.
Watched it, I was like, hey, where's Alonso? Did he get subbed out or something?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't even in the box. But I just want to say, right, that even with him not playing an advanced role, like, he still had more higher XG than Lukaku did as a striker. His XG was 0.16, and then Lukaku's one is 0.13 now, which is not so much saying how advanced Alonso is, but how
bad Lukaku is.
How bad Lukaku was.
Speaking of extended highlights, right? You know, it's annoying that the highlights, they don't show the subs, right? So you have to predict who's in and out. Correct. Let's continue.
But I think one of the guys, I think you mentioned briefly about Lamptey just now. There's always this discussion whether you should get Lamptey in a team who's 4.5, who's a bit cheaper, versus Cucurella, who's playing on the opposite side, but he's more nailed, but he's also more expensive at 5.1.
Right.
Yeah, but I think the decision is simple. Lamptey is a very electric player. He's quite good from an attacking standpoint. I think at one point, I think after the subs, he was playing in the front three.
I think he started, they played like a 4-1-4-1 in my opinion. So he started at the right wing, I feel.
Yeah.
If you watch the game, right,
Joel Batman was the right back, right? Yeah.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So he's so much more advanced. I agree. Yeah. Even though he's not new, he's playing, so he's due a big return. He hasn't got any big return. But
as a fantasy asset, you just have to, that's the risk they have to take with Lamptey. You have a very good attacking player that's listed as a defender, but you know that he wouldn't start all the games, but not because he's not good, but because I think the manager wants to protect him and because he has quite a bad injury record in the past few seasons. I think the style in which he plays also, the way he runs, I think it draws a lot of fouls on him. So it's
he could have gotten a penalty close shot. I think this game, right, I would say Chelsea played poorly. The fact that they got a draw, I feel that it's a good result for them. If you play, you have a bad day, to come out with a draw, it's a good result in my opinion. Because Chelsea is, Brighton should have won the game, in my opinion. Graham Potter, but he's such a good manager, in my opinion. The fact that he worked with such a good system, the fact that the resources he has, right, is so little. The fact that he's providing these results year after year, I think he's really, very impressive. I wouldn't mind if he actually, FSG should tell him now, right? Okay, you stay at Brighton for a couple of years. And when Klopp retires or what, in 2024, I wouldn't mind if he becomes a Liverpool manager, to be honest, because he's very impressive.
But in terms of age, I think Klopp and Potter is about the same age, right? I wouldn't think Klopp is much, much older.
I'm not sure. But So Chelsea has 4 wins in the last 13 games. So actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Tuchel gets a sack. If they go to another bad run, if they lose for the next 2 out of 3 games, for example, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I mean,
wow, Klopp's pretty old, actually.
Yeah, how is he?
He's 54 years old. Graham Potter is 46.
Klopp 2024. I think he will leave the club. I think he'll go to international football or something. So 2024, they will need to find a successor. I wouldn't mind if it's Potter. I mean, he's not the best option, but I wouldn't mind if it's him. because he's very impressive. Yeah. So do you think Tuchel will get a sack if Chelsea loses the next two out of three, for example?
Yeah, I think it's if they lose to Tottenham, if they don't get a result against Tottenham, especially if they lose, I think that would definitely be on the cards. If they were to win that game, I think it's easy. But it's hard for me to see him being sacked before
the World Cup.
The World Cup final, yeah. And the League Cup also, this is also coming up. League Cup final. Yeah.
Maybe they set him like 3 days before the final, and the new manager will come in and win a cup, right? Standard. I mean, they are managers to get, like, I mean, they can easily buy off like Erik ten Hag. They can buy off his contract, for example. I mean, there are options. Pochettino, they can buy him off. I mean, Chelsea, Abramovich is ruthless, we know that. So I wouldn't be surprised if he just loses his, because it's a method that works, right? They keep changing manager, but they keep winning. So, you know, why change the
even when they are winning with their manager, they still sack them, you know.
Yeah,
like Conte. They don't agree with
Ancelotti also won the double. The next season cannot sack. They won FA Cup and Premier League. So it works for Chelsea, so I wouldn't mind if it keeps happening. So yeah.
It doesn't take bad results
Because there's something really wrong. I think he's not getting, there's something missing. Something wrong if they took her. So I don't know whether he has lost the dressing room because of the Lukaku debacle. There's something wrong. So I wouldn't be surprised. Let's just put it there. But it'll be harsh, but I'm not surprised.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to the next game. Leicester Spurs. So you understand?
Leicester Spurs first. Oh, okay. Leicester Spurs first. Yeah. For this game, it was very frustrating for me to watch. Both as a fantasy player and also an Arsenal fan. To see Spurs get two goals in the last minute, and then winning the game from that. So from 0 points, they had 1 point and then 3 points. Right, it's not great for Arsenal fan, but from a fantasy standpoint, right?
I think Madison Scott, bro.
Sorry,
Madison Scott. Madison Scott, right?
Say Madison Scott, but then he would have gotten the full three bonus points if the last goal didn't go in. If the last goal
greedy,
didn't go
bro,
in,
greedy, yeah. greedy.
Yeah. No, okay. So a lot of players had Kane also. Some players have Kane also. They either brought him on for the free hit or because they thought that Kane would have been a good asset to replace Ronaldo for this game week. So that last goal gave him another assist and another two bonus points, basically.
Wait, in our mini league, do you know how many people have Kane, the percentage? Do you check?
Not sure. I didn't check the EO on Kane.
But how you know a lot of people got Kane?
That does give immediately 5 points to Kane. I mean, doesn't matter who has him or not. I mean, in terms of overall ranking, you give 5 points away and then you take 2 points away from Madison. In terms of overall rank, I think that plays a part, from a fantasy standpoint. So I didn't really like it. But just one thing to take note of, to Arsenal fans who think that Tielemans could be the solution to all our problems. Tielemans didn't have a good game this week against Spurs. And if you look at that third goal, he gave away the goal, gave away the ball after kickoff, which wasn't great. And it didn't look like he was playing the ball to anyone. He was just passing it to Højbjerg, straight to Højbjerg, I think.
Tielemans played like a DM, right?
Game, I think
not his position.
That was what I was gonna mention. So Tielemans is not kind of a DM kind of player. He still needs a kind of a destroyer kind of sort of player to play beside him.
But it's an off day,
be playing. Yeah, but I mean he also has this odd games where he can't really affect the match. He doesn't really have a good game. So for Arsenal fans that think that he's a solution.
So you wouldn't take him?
I would take him. I would still take him, definitely. Okay. But then, I wouldn't think that he will be a solution to all our problems. You put him in, then all our problems are solved. I don't think that's true. When you have Xhaka in your team...
Xhaka won't play if Tielemans is there. So
yeah, a lot of players are an upgrade from Xhaka. I mean, in terms of decision making and all that. So I will still take Tielemans, but I will have to say
there's still more to go. There's still more to buy.
there is better players out there, and also there is he's not the solution to all our problems. Yeah.
So my thoughts, right? So the XG for this game is quite amazing. 1.98 to Leicester and 4.58 to Spurs. That is crazy. Even 1.98 is quite high, but 4.58 without any penalties is ridiculous. So like Spurs probably really deserve to win the game despite two late goals. I think they deserve to win the game. Spurs had 8 big chances. So I checked this out, right? To get a big chance, right, the XG must be minimum 0.33. Yeah, that's considered a big chance. But 8 is humongous. Kane, okay, let's talk about Kane. I think Kane had 10 shots, 6 in the box and 2 big chances. So I feel like Kane is back. He is back. I mean, he's not fully back. A much sharper Kane this game. He would have fought big time. And if you get prime Kane in this game, right? He could easily got 3 goals, 1-2 assists or something. Crazy. So yeah, Kane. I mean, let's talk about teams later. But I think if you want to think of like another premium to go along with Salah long term, I mean, I feel like Kane is better than KDB. Because Kane is more nailed for sure. And then like the Champions League is coming out, right? You know, there's still question marks over his nailedness, KDB. I mean, he could be rested. So I think Kane, going forward, right, is much better than KDB. I'm trying to think of how to get him in. It'll be difficult because I don't have any premium striker. But yeah, Kane really impressed. I mean, it really caught my attention for fantasy-wise.
Had him before this season at all?
I don't think so. Either.
I've had him really, at the start of the season. Yeah, he kind of burned me a bit. So I feel a bit of wariness when it comes to getting Kane into my team.
I remember bringing him in double game week two seasons ago, I think. Cardiff and someone got 2 points only. Yeah, 1 point each.
just touching a bit on Conte. I think Conte is an excellent manager. I think Manu really let an opportunity pass when Conte was still available for him to go to Spurs. It really strengthened Spurs.
Manu beat Spurs 3-0, right? But because of that, they shouldn't have won the game.
They won the battle, but they lost the war, basically.
I'll just rattle out some more stats, right? So Doherty, right, he came on in the second half. Just one half, he created 4 chances and 1 big chance. Reguilón, who played most of the game, I think he came out in the 70-odd minutes. He created only 3 chances and 1 big chance. So like Doherty in one half outperforming the stats of Reguilón. So I don't know. I don't see Doherty being a long term, but maybe in a short term he could be ahead of what's his name?
Royal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that Spurs hasn't been active in the market, to be honest, because I would have thought that Conte, one of the things that Conte when he got a job, you better buy players in January. I think I would have thought that would be one of the reasons why Conte got the job, right? Because initially in the summer he didn't want a job, right? So to him to get a job now, I mean, there's some assurances.
There has to be like some assurances or promises made to him.
It's not over yet. There's still how many years? 9 days. So, you know, never know. So Maddison had decent stats as well. 3 shots, 2 in the box and 1 big chance. So yeah, he took that big chance. Maddison is a decent hole. I mean, he deserves that goal.
I'm glad I made a move to a player who returned. Made me feel better about not losing out so much. I mean, of course, I lost 40 points on Bruno. If I would have captained him also, if I would have him in my team. But it's good to have bring a player in and then he scores immediately. Seeing that goal, I thought it was going to be a smash and grab for Leicester, because I thought that Spurs dominated the game and they deserve to win.
I'm surprised Bergwijn hasn't finally got a chance, right? I think Bergwijn is perfect for a right wing back, right? He's very strong, very fast. So maybe, I don't know, maybe he'll get a chance now.
There are talks about Adama going into the Tottenham.
I don't think that would be ideal, but I think Bergwijn can play. I mean, where has he been? Has he been injured? No, right? I think he's been on the bench. So for him to do that, maybe he could be an option. But anyway, what do you want to say? Leicester considered so many big chances, right? You know, game week 24, Liverpool, Leicester. The fact that I have Salah now, I'm quite happy because that is super captainable and people have to bring in Salah back, right? So I hope that really gave me an advantage. Actually, talking about that, right, I'm hoping the double game features hasn't been announced yet. I'm hoping it falls in 24, on 24, because players will need to bring back Salah and the double game features. So I've got an advantage there. But despite any doubles, I'll still captain Salah against Leicester to concede 8 big chances against Spurs. I mean, Liverpool will have a field day. I feel like Salah is definitely a captain. Hopefully he plays, but I think he will still play because he's a machine. I mean, even if Egypt go final, he come back the next day, 3 days, I think he will still play. He's a machine. Salah doesn't get injured. He really doesn't get. He and Mane rarely gets injured. I don't think the only time they don't play, right, is like illness or something, not really injury. So they are really in prime conditions. So I don't see them. I see Salah get playing straight away. So for those who don't have Salah, right, I think you need to plan because Leicester, after they have they have Burnley and Norway. So those three, I think, prime fixtures. So you all need to plan to get Salah after this game week. Yeah, that's
but just one player to note that made his return back to the Leicester team is James Justin. One of the heroes from last season before he got this ACL. Justin was a kind of a shout at the start of the season, but then everyone was saying how Ricardo Pereira was going to come back from injury and then take his
place. But never did.
But never did. He was playing everywhere. Mm-hmm. Justin was playing on the right.
He was playing. He was playing so well. He was unlucky. The timing of the injury, right, coming to the Euros, right, I feel like he will be in the squad because of his versatility. Right, I think he will definitely make the squad, Southgate squad, if he played the same level, because he was really one of the best fullbacks in the league when he got injured. So it's really a shame. But good to see him back. I mean, he's 4.9 now. I don't think it will ever be an option. But yeah, good to see him. And hopefully he can get back his form because he's really a decent player.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the last game. Anything else before we move on to the last game?
No.
Okay, Brentford, Man U. Okay, I'll go further. So in this game, right, Brentford out-exited Man U even though they lost 3-1. So Brentford 2.53 versus United's 2.07. Yeah, so let's talk about like Man U system. So they played last game, they played more like a 4-3-3. Bruno played like a number 8 with Fred. But this game, they played more like a 4-2-3-1. Bruno played more of a 10. So yeah, you look at the LG 2.53, you consider, right? I mean, the defense, Man U defense really shaky. Like, I mean, if you have like Dalot, I mean, I don't think you play Dalot anymore, right? You'll be benched for the... But you look at the defenders, right? Even Varane looked really shaky, the whole defense. I mean, De Gea... you have De Gea is fine because he's making all the save. But then, yes, like, correct. Really... He's 8 points, right? He got 8 points, crazy.
Yeah. Double game week where Man U considered both, he still got 8 points, and that's crazy.
Like, even the trap of the year, Tony Scott. Like, I mean, Tony should have scored much more. Like, he scored a scrappy goal, but there's so many chances in the first half, especially that they didn't score. So it's crazy. I mean, I was watching the game, right? I wanted Brentford to score because I didn't have any Man U cover. I was happy to see Tony score there, but they should have scored much more. Like, at least 2. So yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, so what are your thoughts on the game before I go on to the side?
Nothing really much stands out for me. I think because I was watching the game, I had Ronaldo in my team. I was looking a lot at how Ronaldo played.
Yeah, how was he?
I felt that he was dropping a bit deeper in this game. I'm not sure whether it was the tactical instructions, but him dropping slightly deeper, right, it kind of dragged the defenders towards him, the centre backs towards him, and then it allows for the space for players to run into. I think the first goal was caught with Ilanga, with Ronaldo dropping slightly deeper.
Correct.
Defenders pulling him in, and then Ilanga had the space to run in to Fred's ball. And then the second goal that was caught was also a similar situation where Ronaldo pulled the defender and then he chested the ball down for Fernandes. Yeah. So I think, I'm not sure whether that's a tactical instruction, but it kind of looks like that's the kind of role that Rangnick wants Ronaldo to play. I'm not sure whether that suits him best, that suits his ability best, but I mean, in terms of, because we were mentioning how Ronaldo, a team without Ronaldo is a team that doesn't play as a team, doesn't contribute in team play. Ronaldo holds the ball a lot, right? But if tactical instruction, that could be the compromise to keep Ronaldo in the team and then still let the team play together,
I don't think it's a tactical instruction. I feel like because of the game state, right? I think that's why Ronaldo dropped it because he was frustrated. I don't think it's a tactical instruction. I think it's more like game state. The fact that he was frustrated up front alone, and that's why he did that. But I don't know. But then will you hold on to Ronaldo or will he be the make way for Salah?
I would want to move him to Salah.
So I feel like if you're Ronaldo, right, and you want to bring back Salah, I think Ronaldo is the obvious one if you can go like Bruno to like Watkins or something and one of your midfielders to Salah. I think that's the move to do to sell Ronaldo. So another thing is interesting about the game, right? Bruno, right, only had 2 shots both of them were big chances, but those two shots came after Ronaldo got subbed out. So yeah, so that's interesting. So
But his two assists that he made was still was when Ronaldo was still in the game though.
Yeah. So. No, second one not. Second one. When Rashford scored, Ronaldo wasn't there already. Yeah. So actually
Correct. Second assist was not. Yeah. Sorry.
Assist wise, he created four chances and four big chances. I think in that role, I think Ronaldo, I think, fine because he's still number 10, right? He can still create. But I'm talking about like shooting wise, I mean, he didn't have much chance. So I don't know whether there's a telling stat, those two shots came after Ronaldo come out. And for me, it's a tough thing. Like, if you can do Bruno to KDB, right? I feel if there's no hit involved, I think it's a fair move, especially if you're going to captain KDB. But if there's a hit involved, right? I don't know. I'm a bit torn about this. I mean, we'll talk about this in my team later, but yeah. So if you have Bruno, I feel it's 50-50 lah, whether you should keep him or not. But I think Long, I don't think he's a bit, I think obviously KDB is a better option. But he's playing West Ham, right? West Ham, as you see, very leaky. So he can easily haul even with Ronaldo playing. So it's tough to gauge. Like. I mean, you really go with your gut, in my opinion, if you have Bruno. Yeah. Mm. Anything else to add?
Yeah, let's just transition to, nothing to add. Let's just transition to your team now that you're talking about Bruno and what to do.
Okay, so I'll just say my team out for the podcast listeners. So currently I'm at a 4-4-2, okay? So Ramsdale in goal. I'll start Ramsdale. Anyway, Bachmann doesn't start, right? So my four defenders, Lamptey, Reguilón, Trent, and Cancelo. I'm fine with those four. My midfield is Jota, Bowen, Saka, and Bruno. Let's talk about Saka. Did he play the whole 90 this morning?
He did.
He should be fine, right, for Sunday?
Yeah, Arsenal don't have really... I don't really...
I wouldn't... I'm thinking maybe captain... He could be captain because of Burnley, but then I guess not, because he just played this morning.
No, I wouldn't think so. I thought Partey would have been back for the Burnley game, but he decided to get a rest.
Holiday.
He really wanted a holiday, I think, but Arteta told him straight from the plane to come into the bench. He wasn't happy with that, so he got himself a
red card. Oh, you mean he was on the bench this morning?
Yeah, he was on the bench and he came on and got a red card, bro.
Huh? He got a red card?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Oh, seriously?
Two yellow cards. He came on for 13 minutes. As in, I think 70th minute, around that.
Means he will be suspended lah.
Yeah.
For the next game.
Yeah.
Because he wanted the rest.
He wanted the rest. He's tired, bro.
Long flight. Rubber. Jet
long
lag,
flight. And then he had to go straight to the bench.
Do you think he fly private or economy or first class?
I think private jet. Personally,
alone, because he's the only one who come back early, right? I guess from the Premier League. He alone in the private jet. Yeah, okay. Anyway, Jota, Bowen, Saka, Bruno is my midfield, and then up front, King and Antonio. So my initial thoughts is I don't have enough money to go Bruno to KDB. To do that, right, I need to sell Antonio to Watkins. So do you think that is worth him?
Antonio to Watkins. I think it's only worth it if Watkins has a double game week announced. If it's not, I don't think it's worth it.
So if no double, what should I do? I don't have a captain also. I mean, I don't know about Bruno captain. So I don't have a captain option now. I was thinking Saka, but then maybe not.
So in order for you to get KDB in for Fernandes,
I need to take a hit. I can't do a straight swap.
You need to take a hit.
Antonio to Watkins. That'll be just nice. Just nice. 0.0. So maybe the price changes in the next 2 hours. Maybe I cannot. But I think I should be fine. Yeah, but what do you think? I don't know. The fact that I want to captain KDB, I'm leaning towards that hit.
Right.
But the only thing that's putting me off, right, after Menu, right, West Ham has Watford, Leicester and Newcastle.
Yeah.
So that's putting me off. But Watkins has also...
I don't love Antonio as an asset. I feel that Bowen is a good enough cover. Like, you don't necessarily have to have Bowen and Antonio in your team. I think it's an okay move to make to go from Antonio to Watkins to upgrade Fernandes to KDB just to have that captaincy option. But in terms of captaincy option, I don't really like to captain defenders, but I think Cancelo is also a good shout. Yeah,
no, Cancelo. I prefer Trent. I prefer Trent than Cancelo this game week. I would have captained him. Let's say I roll, right? I think
Jota,
I will captain
Jota
him.
As well. I think Jota is not too bad as a captain.
Jota. Yeah. Well. Hey, but how Trent played? Did he fare out well against Martinelli this morning?
I think he's okay. He was all right. Yeah. I think Martinelli... I wouldn't say he was outstanding. I wouldn't say he was bad. Right? Anyway,
actually, I wouldn't...
It was a good contest between the two. Yeah.
I think Cancelo lah, because the fact that they played this morning, right, I mean, they will play on Sunday, but then, you know, the tired factor, you know, maybe I will captain Cancelo if I don't get KDB. Mm. Yeah, maybe, I'm not sure. But not enticing. That's why I want to take the hit and captain KDB.
Mm.
But KDB will be a long-term hold. I mean, I have Salah on my bench. So my bench is Johnson, Broha, and Salah. So I only have Broha probably on my bench this game because Johnson is not playing.
Mm.
Yeah, so you think a hit is fine, right?
Yeah, either a hit or roll, I think.
Roll and then Cancelo, captain.
Either Cancelo or Arnold or Jota. Yeah.
Or King.
I wouldn't captain Fernandez. No, King.
Okay. Friday night game, man. Okay, so be careful. The deadline is another early deadline, which is annoying for us in Singapore because it's a 2:30 a.m. Saturday morning deadline. Yeah. Will you wake up like 2 o'clock? Do you put alarm or do you just...
No, I don't do that. I told you, I the reason why I made the early transfer was because I wasn't going to wake up for the deadline. So I was thinking it was just a few hours difference more. So I just did it before the 9:30 price changes.
So what if like tonight at midnight, right, you're going to sleep, there's no double gaming announced. Will you put alarm at 2 o'clock or 2:15 or something? If there's no double game announced, you have to, right? Because if it's announced at like 2 o'clock, how? You have to. I think tonight is a bit tricky, like, if especially the...
Yeah, so I think tonight I will just if the double game weeks are unannounced before I sleep, then I wouldn't go.
Hello.
As in, if the double game weeks are unannounced, then I wouldn't. I would just
roll.
I would just not do. I would just do transfers. As in, based on what time I sleep, that's when I'll do my transfer. And if there's no double game week announced, I'll just assume that there's no double game week for the week. And if there is a double game week eventually, then that's I'm okay with that. Because I mean, from this week I learned my lesson that double game week chasing not. I mean, I already have Watkins as cover, so it's okay for me. I'm definitely gonna play.
Watkins ready. Yeah,
I already have Watkins.
Okay. Speaking of double game week, right? I want to shout out FPL Ashtonism. He tweeted something about like us in Singapore, right? It's not worth it. He said something like, it's not worth it to put alarm and worry about this. It's not our rice bowl after, it's just a game. So if you sleep at 12 o'clock and then you just make a transfer and go to sleep. So, yeah, he tweeted, so shout out to him.
I have a futsal game in the morning tomorrow at Changi. Oh. So I wouldn't want to be waking up at 2 a.m. It's a 10 a.m. Game, but because of the test that you have to do, you have to reach at 9:30. So I
still can play. It's still 10 people, is it?
Yeah, five aside.
Changi, which Changi fast? Yeah, where? Which part of Changi?
I think it's this place called Ang. I think I'm not sure exactly. I have to check the location, but it's at Changi lah. Probably have to wake up at to leave the house at 8 a.m. lah. So I wouldn't want
10 a.m. 10. Oh,
yeah.
So his friend of the pod, Jeremy Lin playing?
No. He's not.
No.
He's another really group of guys.
Okay, let's go to your team.
Yeah, I've set up in a 4-3-3. I have Ramsdale in my team, Lamptey, Alonso, Cancelo, Alexander-Arnold at the back, Bowen, Rafinha, Madison. I like the look of that midfield. Striker, I got Watkins, King, and Ronaldo. I think I have the same issue as you.
Watkins, King?
King,
who's on your bench?
Ronaldo. So who's my bench is Son, Dalot, and Brownhill.
Okay, so what are your thoughts?
Yeah, my plans, if there's no double game week announced, I'll just go Son to KDB. I have enough money, I think, for that. I have 1.7. I think I do have enough money for that.
You really?
Yeah. Let me just try that. See whether it's a valid move or not. Hopefully it is. Yep. It's exactly the amount I need to go. Yeah.
But don't make any transfers.
No.
If there's any FPL statistics, you check after this. Don't do the same.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay, let it go.
Yeah, I have exactly the same. It's okay if I don't make it. If I don't make the KDB move, I'm also considering Foden as my captaincy option also this week to bring in for Son. The other move that I'm looking at, either for a hit, is also for Alonso for Luca Digne, in case Aston Villa has a double game week. I think that's the moves I'm looking at.
So if you bring in Foden or KDB, who will you bench?
Yeah, that's the issue. So I wouldn't know who to bench if I were to
I think I'll bench
bring
King.
On KDB.
Not ideal.
I would bench Alonso, actually.
Bench Ronaldo.
I'm going to bench Alonso if that's the case. If I'm bringing KDB or Foden in.
Yeah, so if you take a hit for Alonso, that player also might not play. So I don't think it's worth a hit, right? But although Alonso is definitely, you can save a transfer next week, lah, but if you're not playing the guy now, I don't think it's worth it. Right?
Yeah.
Let's say you bring in Dean, right? If you bring in Dean and KDB,
if the double gaming is announced, I think I'm most probably going Dean, yeah.
You still keep Sun.
Yeah, and then I'll still keep Sun and then see what's his.
And what's your Salah plan?
Ronaldo out for Salah. So probably
who will be the spot? Yeah, who will be the spot? The midfield spot for Salah?
Most probably Maddison.
Okay.
Most probably Maddison. I'm not sure whether if I go from Ronaldo to Broha, I can upgrade Brownhill to Salah, but I don't think so.
Maybe you can. Maybe we'll see how.
Maybe, next yeah.
But Salah is definitely take a hit next game week, for sure.
Yeah. It depends. Depends. If I can go Son to Salah straight, or maybe I'll just go there straight to Salah first.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, one more thing. What do you think of Bruno to Raheem? I can do that without a hit. And Captain Sterling.
Algeria is out of the AFCON though.
Huh?
Yeah.
This morning?
Yeah.
This morning they lost?
Yeah. They're out of the AFCON.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Partey waited for...
But
he never win because of this game. Because of Ateta, he got no one on the flight to break together.
But anyway, they were going different places. Like Manchester, there was no London players. Maybe Benrahma, you could have shared with Benrahma at the Pepper Jet.
Hey, Benrahma he's not even starting for Algeria. Ridiculous. Yeah. How is Algeria is the holders? Yeah.
Really?
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, they are the holders. And they like, going to the tournament, they like don't know how many games unbeaten. We're going to beat the Italy record, but it's a big shock.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah, she didn't go.
He's Algerian, right? He's Moroccan, right?
He's Moroccan, yeah. I think there's a fallout. I think same with Matip. Matip also is not in the
Cameroon. But Matip, long time ago, when he came to Liverpool, really, he was not playing for Cameroon.
Yeah. So just one thing to talk about double game week. Would you captain Watkins if he has a double game week?
Rafinha. For me, okay, let's say it's a double gaming, right? I'll be confused. I really don't know what to do because I have to think whether to prioritize Rafinha or KDB. But for me, Rafinha is the best captain option if the double game week falls over Watkins.
Mm.
That's why I hope the double game week don't fall. Okay, let's say the double game week falls. So what can I do? I can do, it's tough. I can do, I don't know whether KDB, Antonio to Watkins will be nailed. And the other one, right? Should I still go, I really want Rafinha. Should I just go for Rafinha instead of KDB? Tough, right?
Oh, you don't have Rafinha on team.
Yeah, okay. I don't. Mm. That would be really tough to do if KDB or Rafinha.
I think my transfers are very dependent on whether this double game week is announced. If it's not announced,
yeah, same. Let's say it's announced. Okay, let's go my team first. Let's say it's announced. What do you think I should do? Okay. Antonio Watkins is probably nil, but should I go Bruno? Actually, I can do Saka. I can do Saka to Rafinha as well, and then just keep Bruno for Manso.
Mm.
Or should I just go Bruno to Rafinha and then the money?
If you are sure of what who you want to put as captain, then do that and put Rafinha in. Yeah,
so Saka or Bruno?
Your reason why you didn't want to you want to go KDB was because you wanted a captain option, right?
Yes.
If double game week it's easier to have Rafinha and Watkins. So in that case, you can go Saka to Rafinha.
So just keep Bruno.
Yeah, keep Bruno. I think
KDB next week, I guess. Yeah, maybe. Mm. But Saka against Burnley, Not ideal.
But so then I was saying, there's this chance of postponement. The second thing is that Arsenal will probably have to play the same team that they play with Sambi as kind of the sole holding mid. Odegaard just slightly playing in front of him. I don't really like that system.
Burnley might score, but I fancy, because Burnley is rubbish, right? I fancy us to steal that few goals. So yeah, Saka-wise, I think the fact that they have no defensive mid, I think it's fine for Saka.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't feel right to sell Saka. I don't know. That's what I hope the double game we do for. But if that's all, then I'll have to think. But I'll probably be in Rafinha for Saka. But yeah, then the following game, I'll bring KDB for Bruno.
Mm.
I have to take another hit. I wouldn't be a four. So it's fine. -4 here, -4 next. So what, if there's a double game, what will you do? Because you already have Rafinha and Watkins. You're set already.
Yeah.
So you're hoping he falls.
I'm hoping he falls. And I will actually do Alonso to Dinia.
Just one transfer. Sun will be your bench.
Sun will be my bench, yeah.
And he will come back the next game and then you can play him.
No. The reason why I want to do that is because with Alonso to Dinia, I will have just enough money to go Sun
to Salah.
Salah, correct.
Okay, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's if the double game drops. if it doesn't drop, then I think I might do KDB as well. KDB, sound to KDB.
Okay, another move I can do is take a -8. Do you think -8?
I think don't chase the double game week. Like. I mean, if it's, you're -8.
I'm talking about my goalkeepers because I have Ramsdale and Bachmann, right? Bachmann is a dead spot and Ramsdale were blank. So if like Aston Villa, like Bachmann to Martinez, if I have the money, I don't know. Not worth it.
Will Burnley still postpone? Will Burnley ever finish a game? Another Premier League game at this rate.
Yeah, man. I don't know. But they smart. They wait for Cornet. I think Cornet could be an option. He'll probably have triple game week.
But the fixtures don't look good for Burnley.
Yeah.
It's just don't really look good.
Yeah, okay, sure. I think we should end the pod here.
Yeah. Let's call it.
So our next pod, right, will be because it's a long break, it's a 2.5 week, like a winter break and an FA Cup break after this coming game week. Right. So the next time we'll pod is on the 27th of January on Thursday to review game week 23.
Right. Okay. That's about it from us. We've come to the end of the podcast. If you're still with us at this stage, thanks for taking your time out to listen. Do follow us on our Twitter account at FPL Kopi Talks for more of our content. That is FPLKOPITALKS. And feel free to interact with us on that space. I am ABK.
And I am Lukman. We are FPL Kopi Talks signing out. Till next time. Take care.